248-539-9797. Tigers open up a three-game set with the Chicago Cubs right here on 97.1 The Ticket this evening. Saturday, the Lions will take on the Pittsburgh Steelers at Ford Field. And if you want a unique way to watch the game or listen to the game, how about this? You've heard of the Manning Cast. 97.1 The Ticket and the Lions are putting together an alternate telecast. The game begins at 1 o'clock.
It's the Costa Cast.
The Costa Cast. That's right. He's moderating it.
Yeah.
And you go to www.detroitlions.com, click Watch Live, and just watch the alternative broadcast with everyone. Or you can register to have the ability to submit questions and interact with the show and the guests. Now, first quarter guest is John Jansen.
Let's get things started.
Yes. You can fire up the,
Let's go. The
viewers. Mike Valenti and Rico for the second quarter. Carson Anderson for the third quarter. Myself and the Hammer, Jennifer Hammond, in quarter number four. There will be some special guests, bouncing around as well, like they do on the Manning Cast. Cynthia Freeland from the NFL Network. Detroit Football Network's Justin Rogers. Sam Richardson, the Detroit comedian and native. Steven Tulloch, former Lions linebacker. He injured himself by doing a celebration of a sack.
Who's that?
Steven Tulloch.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And Rodney Pete. What a great guy is Rodney Pete.
Yes.
I don't know which quarter each guest will be with, but it'll be a lot of fun. All right. Now, it's the last chance to see many of the Detroit Lions because a lot of them will be sent packing after the game. And when you go into the season, John, there's been some players that, as we like to use the cliche, might outkick their coverage.
Well, yeah, when you think about either where they were drafted, their expectations coming into the season, and, I'll give you an example. Mm-hmm. Isaiah Williams. All right, he is a guy that's undrafted. Mm-hmm. If he makes the team, you could even determine that as he's outkicked his coverage. And, being able to be, whether it's wide receiver four or five, as a return guy, as a specialist, or as a receiver, it doesn't matter. That could be an example. And then you could get down the list of, okay, how much does he contribute? The guy for me that I think has already outkicked his coverage, we know is going to be on the team, and it's Sione Vaki. When I watch him play, especially when he carries the ball, I think he's had 10 carries for just over 50 yards. So he's averaging right around 5 yards a carry. This is a guy that only played running back in college for 1 year, and not even full time. Mm-hmm. He was a defensive back. So the skill set that he has of being able to be a bona fide tackler on special teams, a guy that with that skill set, coverage skills, and then be able to carry the ball offensively, catch the ball offensively. I think he's got his skill set, maybe not the talent, or I'm not going to even go there, but the skill set similar to Jahmyr Gibbs, where they can throw him the ball, they can hand him the ball, and he's going to get some time offensively simply because do we believe Montgomery, Gibbs, they're going to go through the entire season unscathed?
No.
So he'll get some time in the backfield with this offense. As dynamic as Ben Johnson has been able to call it and build it, I think we're going to see him catch the ball as well. And then on top of that, whether he's on the new kickoff return, whether he is, punt coverage, kick coverage, all of those different things, his impact this year, when everybody saw the draft pick fourth round for a guy that had played, and they're drafting him as a running back, he only played 1 year. Everybody kind of raised an eyebrow. Drafting a special teamer? And, I think his impact will somewhat go unnoticed because of the, special teamers' stats aren't ones that you raise you to the top of the list. But then offensively as well, I think he's a guy that will end up having major contributions to this offense.
Oh, he's already, if you judge ticket texts and, phone calls on this radio station, not just this program, he's already turning into a fan favorite. People love him because he's tough as hell.
He's tough as hell. He runs hard. He's got a great awareness of, all 22 on the field. What's the design of the play? What's the purpose? Where is everybody at that's wearing the same color jersey? Mm-hmm. And then once the ball is snapped and all hell breaks loose, he's got this awareness of being able to stick his foot in the ground, go north and south. Sometimes he cuts back, sometimes he doesn't. It feels like he's got that awareness of where everybody is and how he can maximize the yardage gained.
Right. For me, and it came down to two guys, and one, I haven't seen him play yet, so I can't really say how I think if he's going to outkick his coverage or not, because if he's going to be the surprise, because not that everything can be taken away from preseason games, but he hasn't even stepped on the field yet, and that would be Marcus Davenport. Oh, however,
I thought you were going to say a different defensive lineman.
No. Mine is also a guy that they signed in the offseason, not a draft choice.
Oh, so it's not Marcus Davenport.
No, it's not. Oh. But I can't because I
thought you built that one up to be Marcus Davenport.
No, I was because I said I couldn't use him because I hadn't seen him play.
Okay.
So the guy I'm picking, also a free agent, who's actually played, and I think he's played pretty well, and was, I think, under the radar of their offseason stuff. I mean, people talked about Carlton Davis. People talked about, you know, the rookies that they drafted in the secondary. I really like Amik Robertson.
Yep.
So I'm going to take him as my guy who's going to be, you know, he's not going to make the Pro Bowl or anything like that, but he's just going to be a solid guy to cover the slot guys and in nickel coverage, everything. That's who I'm picking.
That's a great pick because, and if you listen to Brad Holmes, Dan Campbell, and their evaluation mm-hmm. of him, and even you go back to the Raiders teammates who said, we did not want to lose Amik Robertson. We're disappointed that he's not here. He wasn't necessarily a starter there, didn't get as much run, which is why he ended up saying, I want to go somewhere where I can start, contribute a little bit more. Great teammate, hard nose, is willing to stick his...
Right, likes to hit.
Yeah, likes to hit, and fits to me what I believe this defense is going to be, and that is aggressive. It's going to be violent. They're going to be guys that they're going to take some chances as well, but I think they're all calculated chances. It's going to be an aggressive style of defense, and I think Amik Robertson fits that. And when you listen to Dan Campbell, if you go back to March and April, and he talks about the signing of Amik Robertson, mm-hmm. everything that he talks about is, we can't believe that he actually became available.
Right.
This is a guy that we coveted it.
And it was kind of under the radar, so to speak. And then when you watch him play in these, like I said, granted it's preseason games, but he's makes some plays, he makes some tackles, and like you, true, he will take a chance and maybe get burnt a little bit, but that's part of the position too, right?
Yeah, I mean you got to crack some eggs, yeah. Right? You got to be able to take some of those chances because some of those chances could turn into pick sixes, you know, could be fumbles. There's a lot that you've got to know and do as a corner, mm-hmm. and I think he is a guy that can walk that line.
Yes. So, yes, we're discussing, you know, who's going to outkick their coverage on the Lions, and I said Akeem Robertson.
Amik. And,
what?
Amik.
Amik. Yes. Amik. And I got, you know, I can't be perfect every day. Have I ever been perfect? No. Anyway, and you said Vaki.
Yeah, Sione Vaki. And I just like his versatility, especially the fact that he was drafted in the fourth round. And the Lions have had some pretty good success drafting fourth rounders, a la Amon-Ra St. Brown. Mm-hmm. So his opportunity will be there. Creativity will be something that he's in a system with Ben Johnson that can utilize him in a bunch of different ways. Dave Phipp can do the same. And so I am excited about him, and I do think that he will outperform expectations.
So Ticketex, we got one, says Vaki is the new Rodrigo. Now, does that mean preseason hype with Rodrigo we had a couple years ago?
Yeah.
Or is that, you know, contributes in
multiple ways?
Multiple
Rodrigo
special
play on
teams,
both sides of the ball.
Flashy ways. Yeah. Again, I thought that was a critical interception he made last year in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
A great play, by the way. Another one we got, Mekhi Wingo, stud.
Yeah, he's been looking really good.
Yeah.
All right, I think boxing yourself in on this that's the one thing when you always say who's going to beat their expectations, because everybody thinks, guess what, St. Brown could be better. I mean, I think he is plateaued, okay? But my point in this is saying that, what about Jameson Williams becoming a 1B?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what he was drafted to be, was a one.
Yeah.
And what if he achieves those expectations? What if they're doing the fantasy marathon on ESPN right now? What if Jameson Williams is like in everybody's top 10 next year? That's not too much of a stretch.
No, I don't think so, but I don't know that it's necessarily out kicking the coverage. I think those are the expectations. When they drafted him 12 overall, those are the expectations. You draft a guy in the fourth round, and you expect maybe he'll contribute a little bit on special teams. We'll see you in a couple of years. Derek Barnes, that type of player. But I think the expectations for Jameson Williams was, one, we knew he wasn't going to play much his rookie year. Last year, I think the expectations were higher than what he was able to obtain.
Okay, another one. How about this? You guys might like this one, especially with the shape of the receiver room right now. Brock Wright in his three seasons, 2 touchdowns, 4 touchdowns, 1 touchdown. Obviously dropped last year because of LaPorta. But now with the situation, the situation with the team, what if Brock Wright were to score 5 or more touchdowns? Career high in touchdowns. You've got one of the best young tight ends in the league, yet your other tight end scores 5 touchdowns because of the red zone deception.
Well, and that was the beauty of the whole back and forth with San Francisco. They gave him the qualifying offer. We got to match it.
Right.
And at the last moments, they did. And I think people do understand that Brock Wright is a quality tight end. And he can be a guy that you can use, obviously, to set the edge in the run game. He does that better than LaPorta. But he doesn't run quite like LaPorta does. And I think he can be extremely effective.
I'm glad you brought that up. That's kind of like a kind of hidden little Brad Holmes Lions move that they didn't let him go. And another reason that, you know, a lot of people look at the 49ers and say, you know, things are kind of falling apart a little bit there. A guy that they wanted, they didn't get.
Right. And I think Brad Holmes, you know what? We have control. We can match a contract. So go ahead. Let somebody else do my work. Let's see what your value is. And if we agree, or if we just don't want to lose you, we'll match it.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave you 2 examples, but mine is this. And I'm interesting to see what you guys say about it. Brian Branch makes the Pro Bowl.
Is he going to play enough? I don't know. Hopefully.
I think he's an every down guy.
Yeah, but is he going to be healthy? He seems to be one of those guys that gets hurt a lot.
Well, he got dinged up occasionally last year.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily say he is injury prone. And so I think that's a possibility. But again, like coming out of Alabama, it was a surprise that he was still there in the second round to be picked up by the Detroit Lions. Becoming a Pro Bowler in your second year, out kicking your coverage.
Yeah.
I think eventually being a Pro Bowler, I don't necessarily know that would be okay in your coverage, but to be able to do that this year, I'd get behind that.
He made some big time plays last year, and I think there's going to be more of those because the defense is going to be better, and he's going to be the beneficiary.
I mean, you look at the defense. Look, obviously, especially with the rookies, you're hoping they're going to be as good as, you know, they were drafted. They'll go through their moments, but you got them, Carl Davis. Look, he's not a lot of people think they overpaid for him, but he's an NFL starter, you know.
Yeah. He's not an island corner.
No, but, you know, and you got Robertson, like we mentioned. You got Branch, you know.
And it's Rake Straw.
Right, and, well, I said the two guys that they drafted, the rookies. Plus, you know, if he had a really good end of season, his training camp so far has been kind of cliche iffy. He hasn't been very good. It wouldn't stun me if he didn't make this team. Surprise me, it wouldn't absolutely stun me.
I think he's going to be on the team.
So do I.
And I also think that we're looking at a defense right now that's very bland. They're not using Iffy like they used him at the end of last year, who was blitzer, disruptor, using him in creative ways. We're not seeing any of that right now. Now, what are they seeing in practice? Because they're working on some of those
reading.
Things.
The stuff you're reading, and, you know, I'm out of practice every day. I was there like twice. The stuff you're reading from the people who are there all the time is that he hasn't exactly had a stellar camp.
Yeah, it's not been lights out.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. 248-539-9797. Vaki is really interesting because he allows more versatility for Gibbs to where he can be utilized more maybe as a slot receiver or two back sets.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of Montgomery and Gibbs on the field at the same time, but it also gives you the opportunity to go Montgomery and Vaki on the field, and or Vaki in the backfield, Gibbs still out at the slot receiver. I mean, there's being able to utilize those three. Now, David Montgomery is going to be the guy that's always in the backfield, but with Gibbs and Vaki, they create. You're trying to create mismatches. How can you get these guys manned up on linebackers? That's a mismatch.
A couple more guys. What about Zylstra in the passing game? In 2022, in limited run, he had 4 touchdowns. He seems like a guy Ben Johnson really likes and Goff seems comfortable with.
So that is going to be
third tight end.
Right. So is that James Mitchell's out?
It looks that way.
So that's, I mean, that this is, and who said it? It was, maybe it was Ben Johnson. No, who's the tight end coach? I'm drawing a blank. We had him on the show, pass game coordinator. Anyway, the most talented group of tight ends that he's ever been around. I think it was actually Ben Johnson. That was his quote.
Right.
And when you think about LaPorta and the rookie year he had, Brock Wright coming back, matching the contract, Zylstra, Mitchell, they're going to actually cut a good player. And this is where this roster is. You're going to finally be cutting players that other teams are simply waiting. Okay, is it going to be Mitchell or Zylstra? Because whichever one we want. You're cutting players that are good and other teams covet.
How about who will underperform? Jack Fox, leading candidate. No.
What?
No, I don't think so. Unless he like has like bunions on his feet.
No. Bunions. Opportunity. He simply won't punt that much.
Right.
That's a positive spin on it. Yeah.
Unless he has bunions on his feet.
Bunions. Who gets bunions anymore? Is that an old thing too?
I don't think so.
I don't know. I've never had a bunion.
My wife said bunions.
Oh, your squeeze has bunions. There we go.
Yes, exactly. All right. You are correct. It's time for Chris Pilar. Have you ever had bunions? Are golf shoes a little too tight?
Oh, I got some messed up feet, but I don't think I have bunions.
All right. Here he is, Chris Pilar.